Do you fail to speak up when you're treated badly? Do you say yes when you really want to say no? Do you feel you make too many sacrifices for others at your own expense? Has past experiences in your life caused you to be distrustful of people, or are you a people pleaser? Having boundaries in your life is very important. Why? Because it teaches people how to treat you. What's going on, y'all? It's your girl, Lady J, coming at you kind of live and always direct. Thank you for pressing play and listening to my voice. I truly appreciate it. Today's conversation is with another good friend of mine, Nicole, and we're going to explore what boundaries are and why they're important. We're going to give you our definition of what boundaries mean to us and the experiences that caused us to create our boundaries, the different types of personal boundaries, and how to create and stick to the boundaries that you want. All right, y'all, let's get this conversation started. Hey, brown girls. If you hadn't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. One, it's free. Two, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Three, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Four, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And lastly, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. All you need to do is download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hello, brown girls. Thank you for tuning into another episode of Conversations with a Brown Girl. As always, I appreciate it. Today's conversation is with a good friend of mine. Her name is Nicole. We met a couple years ago. I mentioned to you guys a few episodes back that I used to be a cub master of a wonderful Cub Scout pack. And she and her son were founding members, and she was the pack's committee chair. And Nicole has always been a person that I can depend upon. She's very straightforward, very honest, very truthful. And she always, always talked about setting boundaries and the importance of having boundaries. So I thought it was very fitting to have her to the conversation, invite her to the conversation today to talk about boundaries. So Nicole, welcome to the conversation. And please take this time to introduce yourself.
Well, I appreciate those kind words. Once again, my name is Nicole, but all my friends call me Nick. I am a single parent. My son is 10 years old. I've been divorced now almost 11 years. I am a teacher with the School District of Philadelphia. I've been teaching fifth grade for probably almost 8 years now, but I've taught pre-K, second grade, first grade, prior to teaching fifth grade. And last week I had a birthday, so this is year 35 for me. So we're going to see what the year brings, despite everything that's going on right now. And that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Okay. Happy birthday. Happy birthday! We're just going to start right in with the conversation. So my listeners know that I love to define words. So I looked up the definition of the term boundary, and I came up with two, or I should say I found two. So the first one is the limit of a subject or principle, or the limit of what someone considers to be acceptable behavior. So which definition do you like?
I actually think both are appropriate, but I like the first one, the limit of a subject or principle, because I feel like it's more general. When I looked at the second definition, I thought more about my role as like a parent or a teacher, where it's certain boundaries you have to set, you know, like with my students. They have to know that, you know, we're gonna joke around, you're gonna learn, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, I'm your teacher, not your friend. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing with my son, you know, I'm your mother, not your friend right now. So, you know, basically, you know, when it comes to the acceptable behavior, I think it depends on the context, but I think the first definition is more general.
I thought about both too. And I actually looked up the word principle. Mm-hmm. And it's basically something that you stand for, believe in, like what guides you in life. And I would like to combine them, but you know, there are certain behaviors that I will accept and that I won't accept. So like touching for me is a big thing. I don't like to be touched. If you're my husband or my son or my mom, I don't mind. Like even my mom, I have my limits with her. With certain family members, a hug. With certain family members, I don't want you to touch me. But there are certain behaviors that I'm willing to accept, but then certain principles that I try to live by. I'm very big on protecting my space. So there are certain people that I'm just not going to tell certain things to or expose myself to. Like I'm very guarded when it comes to sharing things about myself. So, you know, for the principle part really kind of sold me. Like the behaviors, like you said, I look at it from like a mother, teacher, adult standpoint, but there are certain things that I'm not willing to, because I stand for certain things, I'm not willing to allow. I agree with you. I like both of them. Do you have your own personal definition of the term boundary?
Well, kind of spinning the definitions that were already offered, I pretty much said my own definition would be like setting a tone for personal limits. So like basically when you set boundaries for yourself, you're setting a tone for, you know, how you want people to treat you, how far you're willing to let people in your space, how much of your time you're willing to offer, and how much of your energy you're willing to offer.
So I thought about if I had a personal definition of boundary, and I kind of, I said it already, it's what I will allow or won't allow in my life. Like I said, I'm getting ahead of myself, but because of certain experiences, and I'll go into that a little bit later, but because of certain experiences, there are things that I am willing to accept and there are things that I won't accept. So being, you know, with that being said, why do you think it's important for us to have boundaries?
I think it's important to have boundaries because, you know, we've always heard that you can't pour from an empty cup. So when you set boundaries, you know, you're making sure that you kind of preserve your time, your energy. You're protecting your space. You know, you're protecting you. So, you know, I think that's why it's important to set those boundaries, because we can't be everything to everyone all the time. You know, so, you know, when I think about something my mother shared with me years ago, and it's actually a scripture, and it's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And she presented it to me because at that time, you know, when it came to me dating, she saw that I was too accommodating. You know, it would be, you know, things that people would do. They didn't come across as being straightforward, you know, and she noticed a pattern. And, you know, I guess she, you know, figured as my mother, she needed to say something. So, you know, that was what she shared with me. And I've just kept that, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, throughout the years.
Yeah, I thought about, you know, when I came up with the outline for this episode, I thought about why I thought it's important to have boundaries. And I heard, I don't know who said it, but I know that Dr. Phil and Oprah were having a conversation. And one of them said, you teach people how to treat you.
Yep.
And I say that all the time. And this can go, you know, whether you're, whatever profession you're in, whatever organizations you're in, wherever you go in life, when you're dealing with people, you have to, your actions, your behaviors, what comes out of your mouth, people are watching you, and it's teaching them how to treat you. So for me, it's important to have boundaries, because you know, I want people to respect me as a person, respect my space, literally, you know. So for me, it's important to have boundaries because it teaches people how to treat you. And that's very big to me, at least.
And I agree with that. I agree with that because, you know, throughout the years, I've had time to really reflect on my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
That was when, you know, like I got married and, you know, pretty much I did a lot of dating, you know, in my 20s. And I realized that, no, you can't control how people treat you, but you can control how you respond to it. And like you said, you know, you have to teach people how to treat you. And, you know, like I said before, I was too accommodating. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was teaching people that it was okay to treat me that way. So it's like now, it's like, no, I'm not going for it. So, you know, I think, you know, as we get older and as we go through different experiences, you know, we're going to transition. We're going to shift our perspective on certain things. And it's okay to look back and say, whoa, that wasn't cool.
Yeah.
And to move forward and learn from your mistakes. Because at the end of the day, it's about, you know, living and learning, you know, pretty much reflecting on those experiences and moving forward. Because we can't, you know, play victim and say, oh, well, they did this to me, they did that to me. You know, yeah, how they behaved might have been wrong, but we need to take responsibility for what we allow. Because, you know, people can't waste your time unless you give them your time to waste.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of times I think we make the mistake of overlooking certain things.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to really learn to look at people thoroughly before we open ourselves to certain things.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And it's something that you said that I think is important. I think, like, personal growth has a lot to do with boundaries. And I want to talk about like our experiences and how they influenced our boundaries a little later, but personal growth is a big thing. And personal growth, I think, definitely influenced the type of boundaries that you set up. Like you said, in your 20s, you were more open and you allowed certain things, but as you grew up and as you got older, you reflected on that and changed. And I think personal growth and the willingness to learn from your experiences, the willingness to hold yourself accountable, hold, you know, where did I go wrong in this situation? I think that is very important when it comes to boundaries. And I think you have to have a certain humility, I guess, if you will, mm-hmm. a certain self-awareness,
mm-hmm.
because you have to learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn from it and you have to make changes. So wholeheartedly agree with that. Let's move on. So we're going to talk about the different types of boundaries. And there are 6. I can't count today. There are 6. So I'm just going to go through them really quickly. And then we're going to get to the heart of the episode. The first type of boundary is physical. And that refers to personal space and physical touch. Who, when, how you allow a person to touch you or not. Emotional boundaries refers to your feelings. You have a limit on what you share, to who you share, and when. Material boundaries refer to money and possessions, and that again sets a limit on what you will share and with whom. Intellectual boundaries, that refers to thoughts and ideas. That includes respect for other ideas and awareness of appropriate discussion. Sexual boundaries refers to the emotional, intellectual, and physical aspects of sexuality, understanding and respecting your limitations and desires between you and your partner. And time boundaries, that refers to how a person uses their time. And some people are better at balancing work, relationship with hobbies. But for today's conversation, we're focusing on personal boundaries. So before we get into personal boundaries, out of those 6, Nicole, which one is the most important to you and why?
I mean, I think they're all equally important. But if I had to choose, I would have to say the emotional boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's important to protect certain things about ourselves because once it gets out, sometimes people can twist it, and, you know, misinterpret your experience or, you know, judge you based off of that. It's kind of hard to, you know, clear up things about yourself because, you know,
yeah.
So like sometimes it's like you kind of got to choose, you know, is it worth speaking on or is it just, you know, let them think what they want to think. But I would have to say the emotional part. Also, sometimes people are predators. And when you share certain information about yourself, they feed off of that.
Yeah.
I can remember, you know, reading the Steve Harvey book in my early 20s and, you know, just certain things that he spoke about. And I remember him saying something like, you know, like if a guy asks you, well, what do you want in a man? Or what are some things that you like or things like that? He said, tell them what you don't like, you know, because a lot of times people will pretend to be all the things that you like. But if you push your foot down and say, listen, I don't like a liar. I don't like a cheater. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, whoa, you know, you're pretty much giving them the floor to see what they come up with and to see what they present. So
that was deep. I never thought about it that way, but all of them are very important. But if I had to choose three, it would be physical, emotional, and intellectual. And like I said, I'm not a big toucher, but, and it's ironic that we're having this conversation because when it comes to sharing certain things, you know that I share something very personal with you. And I also share that very thing with someone else who I thought was trustworthy. Come to find out, they told people, and you were the one that came to me and was like, listen, they telling you business.
And
you kind of like, I told you about them boundaries. I told you you didn't have to tell her that. And I thought that person was trustworthy. And I told her because I wanted her to understand where I was coming from. But like you said, people, you don't know what people are going to do with that information. And the way that they made it seem was that I wasn't in a place to handle a certain responsibility based on what she said, which is not true. You do, and that kind of ties with like intellectual boundaries about awareness of appropriate discussion. I've learned now in certain spaces, again, because of experience, learning from my mistakes, personal growth, self-awareness, that I can't share everything with everyone. And it's not something that I didn't know, but it's now coming to, like, I've now, because of certain experiences that I've gone through, I have to be even more guarded and careful about who I share with, you know. And just to give people a little context, I have shared my personal journey and struggles, anxiety, depression, and having a mental illness. But then again, with emotional boundaries, there are certain things that at this point that I'm not ready to share. There are certain experiences that I've had that I'm not willing to share because I don't want people to take it the wrong way and twist it and use it against me. You know? And I've learned that the hard way, you know?
Yeah.
Woo. All right. So within personal boundaries, there are different types of traits. So personal boundaries is, again, it's kind of like what you allow or don't allow in your space, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. It's what you allow or don't allow in your life. But then there are traits of personal boundaries, and there are three. So the first one is rigid. If you have rigid personal boundaries, you avoid intimacy and close relationships. You do not ask for help. You have very few close relationships. You're very protective of personal information. Then there's porous. Porous means that you overshare. You have difficulty saying no. You are over-involved with other people's problems and you fear rejection. And then there's a healthy blend of both, and that's a healthy boundary. And you value your opinion. You don't compromise your values for others. You share an appropriate amount of personal information, and you know what you want and how to communicate your wants. So, Nicole, which trait or traits do you identify with the most? And while you're thinking about it, I'll just talk about my own experience. I have been all three at different points in my life.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I would probably say porous, because mm-hmm. I wanted to be accepted. And when I say younger, I mean like middle school, high school, maybe my early years in college, right? So because I wanted to be accepted, I kind of overextended myself mm-hmm. and I let people in, and I was hurt and burned from it. Because of those experiences, I've also have been very rigid at times, where I just didn't want to let anyone in. And that was more so on the relationship, like romantic relationship. I was more rigid with my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, being that I will be 40 this year, I think that I probably am a combination of both rigid and healthy. But I think that there are some times where I may struggle with porous. Like, I do sometimes have a fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
My maturity kind of sets in and says, well, if they don't like it, they don't like it. And if they don't like me, they don't like me. So mm-hmm. I think right now at this point in my life, I'm between rigid and healthy.
Okay. I would have to say that in my 20s, I was porous. I felt like when it came to dating, I had to be a certain kind of woman in order to, I guess, keep a man interested. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was I'm a giving person in general.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I am. But I guess it was, you know, me doing things thinking that it was going to, you know, keep the man focused on me or to keep him liking me. Mm-hmm. And I realized that, you know, regardless of what you have to offer, you know, the person is either going to take it or leave it. So, mm-hmm. you know, I had to learn that it's not necessarily me as a woman, you know, it's who I'm offering myself as a woman to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the guys that I dealt with, they just weren't, they didn't appreciate me. And it's funny because they always come back and say, like, you was the one that got away. Or, mm-hmm. you know, basically, I wish I would have met you at a different time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then I would have to say I was porous. And, you know, through those experiences, you know, I had to learn to really grow into, you know, being secure in who I am, not compromising my values. And, you know, when I see the word compromise, I think of the video of Eartha Kitt. It's a real old video, and she's being interviewed,
mm-hmm.
and the guy is talking about, you know, a man coming into her life, and he speaks about compromise, and she looks at him and says, compromise? You must think about that one again, and she laughs.
A man comes into my life, and I have to compromise? You must think about that one again. A man comes into my life, and you have to compromise? For what? For what? For what? A relationship is a relationship that has to be earned, not to compromise for. I fall in love with myself, and I want someone to share it with me. I want someone to share me with me.
And I understood what she was saying, because I think a lot of men who saw that, you know, misinterpret which her point was. Like, basically, you know, when, you know, two people present themselves, you know, for a relationship, you shouldn't have to compromise, you know, who you are and your values. And I think a lot of times when people want you to compromise your values is more so to accommodate what they want. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about trying to figure out what dinner is going to be. Hey, you know, how about tonight we have steak and tomorrow we have shrimp? We're not talking about that. Mm-hmm. We're talking about our principles and our values. If we have certain values, certain things, you know, we can't bend on, you know, I'm not saying, and make sure that they're realistic, you know, but, you know, stay firm and strong in who you are and what you want and what you need. Because a lot of times, you know, in my 20s, you know, there were things that I needed and wanted, and I didn't get that. So it's like, now, no, either you're offering what I want and what I need, or it's nothing.
Yeah. It's something that you said, you know, especially when it comes to relationships. Before I got married, something my dad told me, he said, don't lose who you are, mm-hmm. because that's who he fell in love with in the first place. Mm-hmm. I know of women who have lost themselves while they're in a relationship, while they're being married to their husband. And that's a type of boundary. And even within a relationship, there are certain things that you should not compromise. You shouldn't compromise mm-hmm. who you are to the core, your core beliefs. And if your partner is asking you to compromise those core beliefs, then you might need to have a red table talk. Like, you're asking me to do something that I fundamentally do not agree with. I wouldn't even call that rigid. I think it's just a healthy boundary. Like, this is who I am. I know what I want, and I'm not willing to change that. Mm-hmm. And just thinking of a personal example, my husband and I, we went to this small Pentecostal storefront church, and there were a lot of things going on in that church that I just did not agree with. It started to look to me like a cult, and I don't mean like drink the Kool-Aid, we're dying cult, but it just, it like, I had like, if you showed up late, they would write your name down.
Oh, no.
Or, like, you know, if you had to ask permission to go away for a weekend type of thing, and they were things that were said and done that I didn't agree with. And, you know, I'm not the perfect Christian. I do my best. And after a while, I was like, I can't continue to do this. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of, I did a lot of soul searching, because I wanted to leave, but my husband was not ready to leave. Mm-hmm. And I sat him down and I was like, look, as a married woman, there are very few things that, I don't want to say very few things I'm willing to, I put it to him like this. I was like, I cannot sacrifice my beliefs for this church anymore. Mm-hmm. And I have to leave. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, this is where I want to go. I'm inviting you to come as my husband, as my covering, so you understand this is the type of church that I want to belong to. But I'm not willing to compromise my soul for this church, because I did not feel that it was a church. I'll just put it out there. I didn't. Mm. And I told him, I'm not willing to compromise on this. You know, thankfully he understood, and eventually he started seeing things for himself and he left. And now we go to the same church. But it took a lot of self-awareness and knowing who I am and knowing what I want and standing by that. And I thought, you know, I don't want to break up my family, not in terms of divorce or anything, but, you know, I don't want my family to go to different churches, but I cannot continue in good faith to go to a church that I just don't believe in anymore. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, you know, as a married woman, you may think this is selfish, but I have to go. Yeah. And, you know, thankfully he was respectful of that, but that was a boundary that I had to set within our relationship. Like, my spirituality my relationship with God is a personal thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not willing to put that on the line, because there was so much going on in that church that I just was like, I can't deal with this anymore. So thankfully I left, he was supportive, and now we go to the same church, but you know, that's self-awareness.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's important that people understand that even in a marriage, you know, yes, you are one, but you still have to maintain self.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of people lose sight of that, and that's where resentment comes in and regret comes in and other issues, you know, arise, because, you know, you lose your sense of self. But when I looked at the three types of boundaries, I actually thought about two stories, and this is where my early childhood educator comes in. So I thought about Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Okay.
So, you know, basically, you know, here she is going into this house that she had no business going to, but it was porridge on the table. So one was too hot, one was too cold, one was just right. She sat in a chair. One was too small, one was too big. One was just right. She went to take a nap. One bed was too hard. One bed was too soft. One was just right. So when it comes to setting those boundaries, you know, we need a balance of, you know, what is healthy. And then I also thought about the three little pigs.
Mm-hmm.
One house was made of straw, one house was made of sticks, and one house was made of bricks. And that was the house that the wolf could not blow down. So when we set these boundaries, you know, life is going to huff and puff at us. People are going to huff and puff at us. But when we set those boundaries, we got to make sure that whatever comes our way, it doesn't break us. And, you know, I think we have to be mindful of that. So that's what I thought about when I saw those three types of boundaries. I thought about something else. I said I was pretty much healthy at this point because I started off as Porsche in my 20s, but I think people misinterpret me as being rigid. You know, a lot of times, you know, people perceive it as me not being open, me not being warm. That's not it. You know, bottom line is just guarding your heart, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, people, like I said, prey on you. People will prey on you, and if you come off too soft, they're going to jump right on it. I'm not a rigid person at all. You know, I'm very open when I feel it and I need to open, but I proceed with caution. Like, I'm not going to just open up to anybody. And I can tell, like, when people come at me, I can tell, like, what type of stuff they on. And there's just certain things I'm not for. You know, people always ask me, you know, do you want to remarry? Yeah, I want to remarry. I've been divorced almost 11 years now,
mm-hmm.
You know, but I have to make sure that whoever comes into my life, not only are they right for me, but they're right for my son.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a single parent. And, you know, like when I say single parent, he abandoned my child.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is no father. So if you come into my life, you better be right for my son, you know, because he has a father, my dad. That's who he knows as dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you better make sure that you come half as close to who my dad is,
mm-hmm.
in order for me to really, you know, feel like you are worth being in my life and my space.
But I also think that comes from people not dealing with folks that have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to take that. So that's why they're intimidated, or they feel that you're hard to approach, because you're very clear with what you want and what you don't. And a lot of people don't know how to take that. A lot of people are just used to just running over folk and taking mm-hmm. advantage, that when they meet someone, it's like, you hold up, you ain't doing that with me.
Exactly.
They want to run in the other direction. You know, I get a lot, oh, you're mean. Oh, you look this. And I just don't come at me with bullshit. I don't want to hear. I've gotten to a point in my life where I've gone through enough pain. I've gone through enough struggle. I just want peace. Mm-hmm. I want people around me who are positive, who are about their business, who are compassionate, who are supportive. You know, I want, you know, people around me who, you know, understand me, respect me. I don't want to let anybody in who's going to cause drama and pettiness in my life. That's why I stopped being a cub master.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much. I don't need that.
Yep.
So, okay, you may think I'm mean or whatever. I'm not. I'm actually a very nice person if you get to know me. But if you think that and you're not willing to see beyond that, then maybe you don't need to be in my life. I just don't have time. And that's a boundary. I don't have time for petty bullshit. I don't have time for foolishness. I got too much going on. You know, 2020 has been, oh my God, it's just been a rough year for everybody. Right now, we need peace and joy and uplifting and supporting mm-hmm. people around us. That I don't want anything else right now.
Exactly.
Okay, so I know we talked about it throughout our conversation, but what caused you, and I know you talked about it in your 20s, but what caused you, what experiences have you had that have caused you to formulate the boundaries that you have now?
Well, like I said, in my 20s, I was married, divorced. I wasn't married a year. So, you know, even dating after that, you know, there was a pattern of what I was tolerating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once I hit my 30s, I said, I'm not going to deal with the nonsense that I dealt with in my 20s. And I can remember an old pastor that I I used to go to this church. He said, if you do what you've always done, then you'll get what you've always gotten. So basically, you know, we have to learn to break that cycle, break that pattern. You know, if we say, and I realized that I would say that I wanted and needed certain things, but then I would turn around and accept opposite. So it's like you really have to acknowledge what it is that you want, what it is that you need, and stick to it. And I really like, I try to stay away from it, I guess idolizing celebrities. But I do admire Ciara and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a conversation that they had with Lala, and they were talking about, you know, everybody talks about the prayer that Ciara, you know, prayed in order to find Russell. And mm-hmm. he said, well, it's not just about her prayer. What about the prayer that I prayed for her? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So basically, you got to be praying for each other. And he said that he had a list of non-negotiables. And I listened to, you know, what he said, and I actually wrote my own non-negotiables. And I realized mm-hmm. that the things that I had on my list were not the things that I was receiving in my 20s. So it was like, now that I have written it out and I'm specific, and that's the thing, we have to be specific about what we want and we need. Be specific and stick to it. Stick to it. If you see that a person is coming with you and they don't meet anything on your list, then it's nothing else, you know, that they need to say to you, or there's no need to go forward with it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like when men approach me, like I can tell right off the bat, like I don't need to go on a date with you. I don't need to have a phone call with you, because I can tell just by the stuff that you post, your lifestyle, we ain't on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not the type of person, oh, well, maybe I'll take the time to get that. No, I don't need to go any further with that. And I'm very tight with my time. My money,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And I mean, just look at the news, the stuff that's going on. These women getting killed, you know, mm-hmm. going on dates and getting robbed and all this other crazy nonsense because they thought, you know, he was a nice man. No, I don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not to say that every man that has approached me is a bad man, but I know that we don't have the same lifestyle. So it's no point in me moving mm-hmm. forward. There's no point. So, you know, just, you know, really learning from my experiences, not playing the victim, mm-hmm. you know, no, people don't have the right to disrespect you or to mistreat you, but, you know, it's our responsibility to make sure that we protect ourselves and we don't allow certain things. We just don't. So, you know, that has really pushed me, you know, into that healthy boundary. And even with work, you know, recognizing there are some colleagues that are going to be just colleagues, and recognizing that there are colleagues that are like family. And, you know, I pretty much am a team player. I get along with everybody. But there are certain people that, when 309 hits, goodbye. Like, it's nothing else after that. But there are some people that I talk to outside of work. We hang out outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
Some people stay at work. So, you know, just recognizing those boundaries.
Yeah, I thought about what my experience have shaped me creating my boundaries. And I can think of two toxic relationships that I was in high school where I was lied to, just taken advantage of, but I allowed it. I saw the red flags and thought that my love would conquer all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and going into college, I said, I can't do that anymore. You mm-hmm. know, I can't allow myself to be taken advantage of that, be taken advantage of like that. I can't allow myself to be disrespected, you know, just having someone blatantly lie to me. So I decided to put an end to that. And I kind of held off on relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just kind of kept to myself. The people pleasing, I had to cut that out because that wasn't getting me anywhere except being used.
Mm-hmm.
And then just this past couple of years, just knowing who to trust with certain information, not sharing everything, not sharing anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, especially with this whole, you know, financially, with this whole corona thing, you know, saving better, mm-hmm. you know, minding my finances better, trying to make sure that I have a little nest egg. You know, I saved enough money, you know, this whole, I mean, the one good thing about this whole experience is that I saved enough money that I was able to put a significant down payment on my car.
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to be more financially responsible, because there was a time where my husband was making pretty good money and I was working a part-time job mm-hmm. and he switched position and he took like a $40,000 pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard. And I said, I never want to be in this position again. So I've been really trying to be mindful of how I spend, how much I spend, credit cards, paying them off, trying to pay the full balance off, not using them if I don't have to, you know, just trying to be more mindful of my finances.
And I think that's been the blessing in this pandemic is that, you know, like, I mean, there are a lot of things, a lot of hardships that people are experiencing, you know, with this pandemic. But, you know, I do see where a lot of people have been productive, mm-hmm. you know, with their businesses, you know, like you said, with saving. Like, you know, I use this time, I was blessed with something. So I paid my credit card off. Mm-hmm. I've been paying on my student loans, even though they're in forbearance. Mm-hmm. But, like, just knocking out goals right about now. Like, yeah. you know, it's pretty much nothing else to do out here, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, why not? So, you know, just using this time to be productive as possible, you know? But, you know, I think people, you know, this is not a fun time. Like, nobody expected this to happen. Yeah. Nobody, you know, was prepared, you know, for mm-hmm. this. Just making the best out of it and just praying, you know, that we come out on the other side, you know, stronger.
Yeah. It's interesting when you talked about work boundaries. Yesterday I was on a Zoom call and it was a Zoom call for work, but where I'm part of this book club and it's anti-racist work, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the Black teachers were talking about how they feel it's important for the Black students in the school to know, because it is a predominantly Black school, mm-hmm. that Black culture needs to be infused in it as much as possible, not just in history or English, but in mm-hmm. science and math, you know, across the board, you know, mm-hmm. teachers need to be mindful of how they treat the students, things like that. So, you know, I have been given the opportunity where I am teaching African history to the class, well, to my seventh grade class, not to the whole school, but mm-hmm. I just shared how excited I am about, you know, being able to contribute to teaching them about their culture. And I brought up Black is King mm-hmm. and how, you know, I was really glad that Beyonce put out something that shows Black people in a position of wealth, that Black people can be wealthy, that the continent of Africa is not the poor, broke, busted and disgusted continent, that mm-hmm. there is wealth in Africa. So I was, you know, really excited about it. And this white woman came up behind me and was like, yeah, I love Black is King. I thought it was great, but I read this article on Essence, which I did not agree with, but they pointed out that, you know, it can be harmful when you're talking about Black wealth. Like, people who aren't wealthy can be empowered still.
I saw that article. Mm-hmm.
And at first I did, you know, I'm trying to be mature. At first I was like, oh no, she didn't. At first I was like, no, this happened, didn't. And I was like, well, let me scan, let me be mature. Like, am I taking it personal? I was like, no, I really don't appreciate her comment, because how I took it was, I'm sitting here telling you that Black people can be wealthy and empowered, and there's nothing wrong with showing that these students, and I'm speaking generally, I'm not talking about trapping for money, but that wealth is a possibility for them. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, these kids need to realize that. You gonna come behind me, and basically, I felt as though she was kind of putting down my,
mm-hmm.
putting my comment down.
Mm-hmm.
And I had brought it up to the moderator, who, it was two Black women, and I told them, I said, you know, I kind of felt the ways. And my coworker was like, if someone says something that you don't like, tell them at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought about what did I just teach that woman in that moment? Did I teach her that it was okay for her to contradict? And I'm not saying that we can't have a difference of opinion, mm-hmm. but there's a way to do it. And I didn't like the way that she presented it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm thinking, like, going forward, I need to make sure that I set that boundary mm-hmm. and voice my opinion. Like, you know, I understand what you're trying to say, but X, Y, and Z. And then even not over explaining myself, but just letting her know, I didn't like what you said, and this is why, in mm-hmm. a very professional manner.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think about, you know, in that moment, how did I teach her how to treat me?
Yeah.
I don't know, this whole coworker thing, you know, I've been out of work for 3 years. I haven't really dealt with folks. I haven't really dealt with folks. So now, and I told my husband, I was like, yeah, you know. So my husband started laughing at me. And I was like, why are you laughing? And he was like, she don't realize what you just gave. She gave you permission to do, because you gonna let them white folks have it at your job. And I was like, no, not necessarily, but black, white, red, purple, or whatever, you're not going to come at my neck and think it's okay. Or you're not yeah. going to disrespect my comment or something that I believe in and think it's okay.
Yeah,
you know, I thought about what you said, because they seem to follow, you know, I'm very private on social media. Like, my blog and podcast is open, everybody, but my personal social media, I'm not for it. It's set on private. And I had people who I went to high school with requesting to be friends. Delete. But yeah, I'm trying to remember what you said. Like, feel them out.
Yeah.
Keep on private for a minute. Get to know them. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at with that. But some of them seem pretty cool. I don't know. We'll see.
But yeah, work it's hard, because you know, you do have people coming together who are going to have different beliefs, who are going to have different angles on things, but you have to learn how to work together, because you know, we can't teach the kids how to resolve conflict and we don't know how to do it. And
yeah, that's,
you know, we have to lead by example. And it's funny because during the pandemic, when we went virtual, I found out that a coworker actually had a problem with me, and she was running her mouth to other people. And when my partner told her, like, if you feel that this is how she's treating you, or you know, this is how she feels about you, won't you go to her and speak to her? She didn't want to do that. So it was like, when somebody told you how to address the situation, you chose not to, mm-hmm. but you want to continue to run your mouth about me. So it's like, you know, I was like, I'm glad this is a pandemic, because I don't have to see her.
Yeah.
You know, but I have time to really get my thoughts together and, you know, really, because I'm not, like, people think I'm confrontational. Like, I might be hot-headed, you know, because I feel passionate about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, when I feel disrespected or when I feel that somebody has hurt me, I'm very passionate about mm-hmm. expressing myself. But I'm not a confrontational person. But I don't like to be disrespected, and I don't like, you know, to be misunderstood. And I would like the opportunity to present how I feel. Because you don't have to try to guess how I feel, because I'll tell you, I'm very transparent about how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, this is a woman that I don't like, and I will explain to her why I don't like her. But, you know, to go around and say that I hate her and you know, stuff like that, no, that's a very strong word. I hate you. You know, and to tell people that, you know, I don't acknowledge her when I come into the room. Things like this, little stupid stuff like that. Like I said, you know, the kids, they see this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we really, I'm very, you know, like when it comes to conflict resolution, you know, I'm on the kids about it. Because, you know, what I don't want to see is the stuff that we're seeing in the news, where groups of teenagers are shooting at a subway stop and an innocent woman is shot. You know, that happened
all that.
So it's like, you know, I try to teach my kids, like, when you out on the street, you know, it's a totally different world than being inside of this school, because in this school there are no boundaries. You know what I'm saying? But in the streets, say you get in a fight and somebody falls and hits their head and they die. Did you mean to kill the person? No. But if you really just take the time to think the situation through, And even if you got to walk away, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not a punk for walking away. You know, I do tell my students, I'm all for self-defense. Don't let nobody put their hands on you. Because I'm going to tell you what I would tell my son. Don't let nobody put their hands on you. And don't let nobody disrespect you. Stand up for yourself. All that bullying nonsense, no. Bully the people that need to be put in their place. You know, so, you know, even teaching kids boundaries.
Yes, I was just about to say that.
Boundaries and letting them know. Like, I mean, it's disturbing that a couple of weeks ago, the young girl was killed by her ex-boyfriend. How are you 18, 19 years old dealing with an abusive relationship? Like, that just turned my stomach. So, like, we even have to teach kids boundaries. You know, like, if, you know, I've seen the conversation. Like, if a kid says they feel uncomfortable about somebody, trust what they're saying and acknowledge that. You know, don't brush them off. So, you know, like, we have to, you know, boundaries need to be taught when the kids are young. So that when they grow up to be adults, they understand.
And I agree with that, but now you have parents who have no boundaries with their kids.
Most definitely.
Like, that, like, you know, and as educators, we see this a lot where the parents are too busy being friends with their kids or they're afraid of their kids. You know, I've been in education for a while. I did take some time off, but I still work with children. And some of the things that I've, like, I would never say to my mom some of the things that these kids say to their parents. Mm-hmm. I'm 40 and I still won't say certain things to my mom. Because my mom would tell me, I'm not your friend. I'm your parent. And she drew that boundary with me very early on. Now, there were moments where I was like, I need to talk to you as a friend. And she would be like, okay, well, what's up? What's going on? But I still had that boundary, like, this is my mother. There are certain things that I can say, I can't say. There's certain behaviors that I can get away with. There are certain behaviors that I can't. But nowadays, you have parents that there are no boundaries. There's no consequences.
None.
For their behavior. There's no, they're not being held accountable. You know, I remember a couple years ago, I would let my son play after school. And there was a mom doing the kid's homework.
Mm.
And the kid was giving the mom an attitude about it.
Mm.
And I sat there and I looked. I said, first of all, I wish Kate would sit here and do my homework for me. Second of all, I wish I would say give it her an attitude about her doing my homework. Like, I just kind of shook my head. Like, I can count on one hand how many times I did my son's homework. But that was only because it was like 10:30 at night, I'm tired, and it just got to get done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not something that I make a habit of doing, you know? Mm-hmm. But I just look sometimes, and I just shake my head, and what concerns me is that these kids are going to grow up.
Yeah. And this is what we're getting. This is what we're getting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, we can't control, as educators, we can't control what our kids come from, but we can't control. We do have a little bit of control when it comes to our classroom environments and our expectations. And, you know, I always tell my students, you know, listen, I don't care, you know, what you're allowed to do at home. I don't care, you know, mom's a crackhead, dad's a drunk. I don't care about none of that stuff because the real world is not going to give you brownie points for that. Like, they're not going to say, okay, you know, I'm sorry, you know, you come from this. No, like, you have to acknowledge those situations and, you know, receive the fact that this is what I come from, but this is not where I have to end.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it doesn't define
you. I don't care, you know, but I'm saying, like, pretty much, like, listen, there are expectations out in the world. And being that you are Black and brown kids, you're going to have to work 10 times harder. Nobody's going to want to hear your sob story. So you just make sure when you go out in the world, you are better than them. And, you know, basically you are on, you know, P's and Q's because they're looking at you to mess up. You know, the tiniest mistake, they're looking for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just always encourage my students that regardless of what you come from, be resilient. Mm-hmm. And just know that you don't have to be a product of your environment.
Yeah. Well, speaking of giving advice, and I know you touched on it a little bit, but just to be more definitive about it, what advice do you have on how to create boundaries? What advice would you give the listeners on how to create your boundaries?
Well, basically, I think when it comes to creating your boundaries, you have to really know yourself. You know what I'm saying? Know yourself and be comfortable with who you are. And if it's something that you're not comfortable with, change it. You know what I'm saying? Don't complain about something if you're not willing to change, you know, what it is that you don't like. Also, I believe there's a Nina Simone quote. It says, you got to learn to leave the table when love's no longer being served. And, you know, even if it's not about love, just, you know, whatever is being offered, if it's not what you need or what you want, don't be afraid to walk away from the table. Build your own table, but just be consistent with those boundaries. Be firm and really respect yourself enough and love yourself enough to know that the boundaries that you're setting is for the best interest of yourself. So that would be my advice. And also, the scripture that I presented before, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And we have to remember that, you know, just guard yourself.
Well, I think this is a good point to end the conversation. Just to go over some key points, just, you know, self-awareness, growth, learning from your mistakes, knowing who you are, knowing what you want, making it clear, guarding yourself. I think those are just some key points. And there were a lot of gems that were being dropped in this episode. So, you know, I like to end my episodes with a quote. And I gave my quote earlier. And my quote when it comes to boundaries is, you teach people how to treat you. And I'm just very cognizant with how I carry myself, how that teaches people, how that informs people how to treat me. So that's my quote when it comes to boundaries. Did you have a quote, or did you say already?
No, it's pretty much the scripture that I presented. But I would like to end with the idea that sometimes our boundaries are formed based on our trauma. And we need to really dig deep and acknowledge those traumas and address those traumas so that, you know, we can shift from rigid to porous to healthy. So, you know, really dig deep and, you know, acknowledge those traumas and address them so that, you know, you can have a balance of what you need when it comes to boundaries.
Well, I don't think there's anything else more to say. I think we can end right there, and I think we will. So I'm going to thank you for coming on. I would love to have you to come on again. I think we talked about a few topics that we could definitely go into. I think addressing trauma, I think, is one. I think I would love to hear your perspective on divorce and being a single parent. I think that perspective is needed, you know, because I'm married, you know, and I know what my end looks like. But just because, like, I had a coworker who thought that because I was married, that I was rich and I was living this happy life. And I was like, girl.
Yeah, please. I done heard some horror stories about people being married and they just as broke as they want to be. So that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
so.
I kind of looked at her. I was like, if obviously I'm still married, we've been married for, I think, 15 years. So, you know, we've had our ups and we've had some downs, but I just kind of looked at her like, if this is your idea of what marriage is, then sweetie, you need to talk to someone.
It's not surprising though. A lot of people, you know, have these ideas about what marriage is and it's very off, very off. So it's like, you know, I don't act like I know everything about marriage. You know, I only know about what I went through. And I know, you know, I've learned, you know, from, you know, people around me who are married, you know. So, I mean, everybody's story is different. It's going to look different for everybody. So, you know, but yeah, that's definitely another topic for another day.
Yes. Well, again, Nicole, thank you for coming on and having a conversation about boundaries. Yeah, we're just gonna stop here. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening.